Hallelujah. Come on, give it to the Lord. Shout a big hallelujah in the house. Church, we are living an exciting time. A time when the word of the Lord is precious, especially from this altar. At the beginning of this year, this church declares that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established upon all the top of the mountains and up upon all the top of the hills, and nations of the world shall flow into it. I am trusting the Lord this morning that God will visit us. He will meet you at the very, very depth of your expectations. In Jesus' precious name. You may be seated. Thank you. Hallelujah. Daddy and Mommy, I want to thank you. You are just a pastor. You are my father. And I'm grateful that God has brought me under your ministry. And they permit me to also appreciate my one and the only one. Come on, stand up now. The one and the only one. One and the only one. The wife of my youth. And I'm also here with two of my daughters. One of them is here. The other one is in the media room. Also permit me to appreciate the angel of the Lord over the Church of North America. My beloved father, Dr. Ezekiel Adetunji. The man on whose wing we're riding. Thank you, sir, for being a father. We call him American Dad. Hallelujah. Church, this morning, let's pray. Father, we are grateful unto you. Lord, we thank you for bringing us to your house. It's not about any of us. It's only about you. Lord Jesus, I pray that you reveal yourself unto us through the revelation of your word this morning. Pray that everyone will have an encounter with you in the name of Jesus. At the end of today's service, give us joy and gladness. And let your name and your name alone be glorified. Jesus' precious name. Sir, I want to begin this morning. I want to thank God for what God has started since Wednesday. Yesterday was mind-blowing. Thank God for the man of God. I want to build and complement what was said yesterday. Sir, in the winter of 1986, the church in this age, we heard yesterday that faith is important, very correct. It's also a time when the church has to move by revelation. Like the children of Issachar, Bible says they know what Israel ought to be doing at a particular time. It's not enough for you to know the scripture, which is very, very fundamental. It's also very important to know by vision what God is doing in this time. In the winter of 1986, I didn't know what kind of prayer I was praying. And the Lord took me on the journey of the vision. In that vision, I saw myself. I mean, before I saw myself, I saw a lot of people trooping out of Nigeria. I saw the map of Nigeria. A lot of people were trooping out. A lot of people were trooping out. Crowd that I could not number. And as I was wondering, where are they going? I saw all of them were wearing the same uniform. And at the back of their clothes, of their uniform, there's the word harvesters. And a man walked up to me and said, "Are you worried about this? What is going on?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Yes, God is sending them to nations to harvest nations." He said, "These are the harvesters. They are going to harvest nations." There are many of us who find ourselves in the diaspora over the other part of the world. No, majority don't even know why they were there. But thank God also I was wearing the same form. It was then I knew that I have an assignment outside the world. Fast forward in 2024. I was bothered, I was worried with the cries of hunger, anguish, lamentations coming from this part of the world. And I began to, anyone that came close to me will understand that I get so worried a lot about Nigeria. Even though my body is there, my soul and spirit is here. And so all of a sudden, the Lord took me on another journey. In that vision, He took me to the bank of an ocean. It was at the twilight, and everywhere was a little bit dark. So I saw there was a great storm. It was windy, very windy. The ocean was roaring, and I was standing there alone, all alone, watching. All of a sudden, I saw something was coming out of the water, and this will interest you. Something was coming out of the water. A very mighty creature was coming out. I didn't see the head, but I saw the back of it was coming out from that ocean. And as it was rising up, the wind and the storm intensified. I mean, to the extent to which my eyes could see, everywhere the wind was blowing everywhere. All of a sudden, I saw the creature. The back of this creature came out of the water. And I saw the word Nigeria on the body. And then the vision rolled off. Then I understand that God is doing something in this part of the world. If you are part of the church in the early 2020, when we had the vision 2020 in this city of Ibadan, there were revelations about God using this nation in particular. Of course, this money God has sent me to Stone Church family. God is using, wants to use this nation in particular to touch the rest of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, Nigeria is rising. This nation, I'm not trying to encourage you. I'm not saying something that will encourage you. I'm telling you, I'm bringing the kingdom word unto you this morning. This nation is rising. This nation is rising. And when the nation is rising, what does it mean? It means that God is doing something about families in this land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when I was praying for this meeting, anytime I kneel down to pray, I will always be hearing noise. So much noise. So much noise. In Isaiah chapter 66, verse 6. Isaiah 66, verse 6. There is so much noise all around the country. So much. The noise from politicians. The noise from the social media. The noise everywhere. And this noise so much that majority of us don't even pay attention to the voice of God from this place. Look at what the scripture says. Isaiah 66, verse 6. A voice of noise from the city. Whatever you hear outside the church is just a noise. It's not real. Am I speaking to somebody here this morning? But a voice from the temple. A voice of God come from the temple. The voice of the Lord that rendered recompense to his adversary. So pay attention to what we hear from here. This is what determines how far you will go. This is what determines your eternity. David in Psalm 74 was worried. He said, why are the wicked prospering and the righteous are not getting away? He said, they grow fatter in flesh. They are not sick like others. I couldn't understand why it was so until I went to the sanctuary of the Lord. Then I found out their end. That God has set them in slippery places. That their end is going to be destruction. You can only find out when you come to the house of the Lord. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to get ready. God is about to lay hold on you. Can I hear amen? Can I hear amen? God is about to lay hold on you. He's about to lay hold on you. Let me tell you this before I proceed to my main message. When I was coming from U.S., all the planes, I will observe that all the planes coming to Nigeria, Airbus A350, A320, all these planes will get filled up. And all across the state, there are seminars of awareness that is going on now. That God is doing something in this region, particularly in this nation of Nigeria. And a lot of people that are here have no clue. Have no clue. Because the noises from the city have overtaken us. We are so overwhelmed that we can't see what God is doing. Even pastors. When I speak, they think I'm not sensitive. I'm not sensitive. I'm speaking responsibly this morning. That what God is going to do in this land from 1986 to 2026 will be 40 years. Get ready. there will be a sweeping revelation, a sweeping move of God all across this nation. All across this nation. And many of us don't even know that the hand of the Lord is upon us already. Get ready. Get ready for your ride. God is about to do something in your life. He's about to do something in your life. But this morning, I will narrow my message down to families. And that because that is where God begins. Hallelujah. 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 Don't be surprised. People are moving back home. Maybe I'm moving back home. And I speak again. I speak carefully and responsibly. By 2030, more than 25% outside will come back home. In the next 10 years, 50% will come back home. By the year 2045, Nigeria will be one of the greatest nations on top of the heart. Can I hear you? Amen? Quote me and write it down. With the vision I saw, I don't need anybody to tell me, I don't need a prophet to explain to me that God is working in this nation. Hallelujah. So don't let the devil tear you down. Don't let him you feel that until you step out of the shore of Nigeria, you have no destiny. There is a place in God for you. Can I hear amen, church? We have the most vibrant youth anywhere in the world. On record, in the last 10 years, Nigerians, we are the highest educated immigrant in the United States. On record. On record. So we have the most energetic youth. And that is what God is going to lay hold on. Every time we speak to people here, they say, our governments are taking light. Our government has not done this. Our government, you don't hear that type of thing outside. Oh, our government is not responsible. Everything is our government. Yes, no, let's stop that. Let's stop. That's a noise. Everything is government, 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 government. And when we confess that our economy is not based on the economy of this world, but when we shout government every time. In fact, a friend of mine told me, his friend and his wife fought. And he called me and said, you see what this president has done? I said, the president caused the fight? He said, yes. If you didn't create this problem, they won't fight. I saw a young lady on social media that brought egg. I said, the price of egg is this amount. This president is terrible. And everybody is celebrating it. After 4 years in college, the only thing you can come out from is the price of egg. That is a noise, church. Let's pay attention to the word. Let's pay attention to what God has for you. Christianity is not difficult. It's not. It's not difficult. The Bible says common people heard Jesus gladly. When he spoke, common people rejoice. The most, the greatest gift God can give to humanity is salvation. You have it, you have all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please, can you project me? Let me just show you some graphics, some data. Then I go to my, then I move straight to my message. Now, when we talk about family, look at this. It will surprise you. This is the divorce rate by religion globally from the U.S. Department of Statistics. This is the divorce rate. We know God hates divorce. We preach it. We emphasize on it. But look at it. The historically black Protestant, 19%. Evangelical Protestant, how many percent? Say it loud. Now, Catholic, people you consider not born again, how many? Jehovah's Witness, mainland Protestant. Let's fast forward. Buddhist, 10%. Now, Orthodox, Jewish, 9. Orthodox Christian. Muslim, that's where I'm going. Muslim, how many percentage? Something is wrong with our message. Don't you think so? Something is wrong with our message. The Mormon, this Mormon, we consider they are a cult group, okay? The Hindu, in India today, the rate of percentage is 0.01% in India. And we are the celebrated people. We are the most sophisticated, most celebrated, most advanced, most vast in the scripture. Something is wrong.
Even our message of prosperity, there is a disconnect. A message of prosperity, Nigeria has the biggest noise on prosperity. Like the preacher said yesterday, push it to the extreme. Yet we have well over 13% of the population poor. So what is wrong? Something is wrong. Fundamentally, something is wrong. And we don't address the foundation, then we are heading for a disaster. Because we have a generation of youth that is rising up. Now, in Nigeria today, well, I don't know how accurate it is. The rate of divorce in Nigeria is about 2.9%. It's growing. It's growing. Everybody's conscious. By the way, in the Stone Church, when the manual for the marriage was handed over to me, in the Stone Church, we recognize that the institution of marriage, which eventually culminated into a family, has three legs. We have the spiritual contract, we have the social contract, and we have the legal contract. We believe that in this church. But I'm not going to dive into social contract, which talks about responsibility, and that is what a lot of preachers in Nigeria talk about. They talk about a woman think fast, think low. Men think deep. Men, all those jargons. They just say that to excite us, to excite you. It does not contribute anything. Look at the Muslim. Look at the Hindus. They don't know anything about that. Yet, they uphold the institution of marriage that rightfully belong to us. Am I speaking to somebody here? So, what do we need to be doing now? We need to look inward. Thank God for this church. Thank God for this church. One of the messages that you preached recently about making excuses. My wife forced me to listen to that message. She really forced me to listen to that message. And after I've listened to that message, I don't know how many times I've preached it. I don't know how many times I've preached it. We begin to look inward. God is interested in families. God is interested in families. That is the pillar where he executes his plan. That is the first human government where we have the man, the woman, the children, and the pet. I know you don't have that here. Let me give you the picture of my family. This is my family. You can see our pet there. That boy is a boy. That boy there, he has his own doctor. Actually, he bears my last name. That is what got me annoyed. But he dare not touch that dog. It's owned by one of my daughters. He dare not touch that dog. That's a complete family. In this modern world, you don't like dogs or cats, you better change your mind. Because your children will bring it home. They will bring it home. I know what pastor faced when pastor came. His name is Cole Salami. We share the same office. He sleep at my office side. Listen, sometimes he come on the bed. Touch up on the bed. But my wife doesn't like Cole. So that's a picture of a family. But you know what? It's interesting that sometimes when I sit down and I look at the concept of marriage, I'm going there, the concept of marriage. It appears to me in this part of the world, we have not gotten it. We really don't understand what it means to have a family. In American community, they celebrate family a lot, even though we don't have many families in America. Because of civilization, because of this kind of doctrines that our preachers are preaching here. We don't have many families. There was a guy that walked up to me, and he came for counsel. I said, can't you go to your pastor? He said, I can't go to my pastor. I said, why? He said, he's on his third wife. He doesn't have a word for me. I said, my wife said, why are you still staying there? He said, hey, it's my pastor. He's on his third wife. That doesn't make any meaning to anybody. But I'll tell you what marriage is, what family is, as we go on. Praise the Lord. Let me show you one more picture. One more picture about the divorce. I've told you about divorce, but I wanted to give you the statistical of divorce. Bible said, God said, I hate divorce. I hate divorce. But you see, in United States today,
the rate of divorce is actually going down. The reason is that they found out by statistics that when you divorce the first husband or the first wife, the rate of second husband or second wife's divorce is higher. And the third one is like 70%. So there's 70% chances that when you go to the third marriage, that marriage is not going to last. In fact, there's a particular country in Europe. I forgot that country. I think Denmark or what. The rate of divorces is 90%. I said, why are people getting married? Take me back to that scripture, that picture, that last said. Now, you see what is here. As the divorce rate is going down, then the rate of marriage is also going down. Now, in the United States, by statistics, 139 million young women between 15 and 35 of age, 135 million young adults. How many people got married in 2022? 2.3 million. What happened to the rest? 2.3 million people got married. 0.0167% were the actual number of people that got married. There are statistics to prove that. What happened to the rest? So, if we don't talk about marriage, and I bless God for this church, if we don't talk about marriage, if you don't pay attention to this institution, there is a disaster ahead. We can build a society that is very prosperous, but when the institution of marriage collapses, it's of no value. As a matter of fact, those who emphasize on social contract, you know what they are teaching you? They teach you that it's very important that a man and a woman, you should understand your role in the marriage. And they emphasize on that, okay? Now, the ultimate end goal of that is that they are pushing you towards prosperity. Prosperity, everybody, prosperity, prosperity. But the actual gospel of Jesus is not about that. We don't live for prosperity. Prosperity is part of the package. Are you hearing me? We live for better resurrection. Because Jesus said, what does it profit a man after getting everything in this world? At the end, no matter at the end of it, how much are you going to take back? You can be a professor, you have 5 PhD. By the time you die, your degree is not transferable. So we live for better resurrection. Everybody say better resurrection. Let your concept, your orientation be for better resurrection and not for better life. Prosperity will come when you do what I'm going to teach you this morning. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. So what is God's concept about marriage? About family. The mind of God, when he planted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, was not just for them to have children, was not just for them to have companion, was not just for them to procreate, but God's intention was to set up generations of men. The intention of God was for perpetuity. And when God called Abraham, let me start from the call of Abraham. When God called Abraham, God said to him in verse 3, and in you all the families of the heart shall be blessed. But we find out that every of these patriarchs, when God speaks to them, they kind of bring a lot of distortions. And I'm going to help you to understand that when you bring distortion to your family, you have defeated the purpose to which God has planted at home. And I'm going to prove it from the scripture. From Abraham, God said to him, in you, all the families of the heart shall be blessed. But in Genesis 15 and 16 and 17, now, Abraham went ahead of God and slept with Hagar because he was waiting for the promise to manifest. And God kind of delayed in his own calculations. Then he slept with the lady, and that girl gave birth to a child called Ishmael. Now, Abraham was 86 years old when Ishmael came. The moment he gave birth to Ishmael, God went on vacation. Check your scripture. In chapter 17, verse 1, God came back when Abraham was 99 years. And he repeated what he said to him in chapter 12. I am the Lord God Almighty. Walk before me. And be what? And be blameless. As for me, my covenant remain with me. I have not changed.
That was about 14 years of darkness in the life of Abraham. So when you distort God's agenda, either by adultery or by any other means, contrary to the word of God, you bring the distortion. Let's go straight to the family of David. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 to 3, quickly. 2 Samuel chapter 7, from verse 1 to 3. You see what happened there. And I want to point you to this. 2 Samuel chapter 2. The Bible says that when God has given rest to David from all the kingdom, all over the kingdom, everywhere was quiet. And David said to himself, why am I living in this house of cedar? And it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord has given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in the house of cedar, but the ark of God dwell within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in your hand, for the Lord is with you. Let's jump to verse 11 quickly. David planned to build a house for God. And God said, since I've created man, since I've appointed judges, God began to, he pushed God to a place where God had to be, you know, rehearsing what he has done in the past. I've appointed judges. I've never spoken to anyone to build me a house. How come this came to your mind? Listen. And I've seen the time that I commanded just to be over my people in Israel, and I've caused it to rest from all your enemies. So also, the Lord telleth thee that he will make you a house. That is a royal dynasty. That is Davidic kingdom. That is Davidic generation. God said, because you have said this, I am setting up a family right now, and I'm going to make you a house. What I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, that your family is a house. That family is a house. On the part of David, God has founded that house by covenant. So when you go into marriage and you are building a family, it must be premised on the promise of God. You must have a word that establishes that family as a foundation. So God said to David, I'm going to make you a house. You're not just a house, I'm going to make you a house. Until today, we hear about the house of David. That's where Jesus came from, okay? But I said, this same David also distorted this covenant and brought shame on his house. What did he do? He slept with Bathsheba. He killed Uriah. And God said, his sword shall not depart from your house. Now let's jump to Judah. In Genesis chapter 49, I'm trying to rush through this to let you understand where I'm going. In Genesis 49, when Jacob called all his sons together, he spoke to Judah, he said, Judah, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. And he said, unto you shall your brethren bow. Your brethren will bow to you. That's the authority of a king. So Judah was actually to produce king for Israel. What did he do? He also distorted that move. God established a covenant with Judah. He said, through you, the Messiah will come. Through you, I will produce kings for Israel. But what did he do? The Bible tells us that he slept with the wife of his son. Whether knowingly or unknowingly, slept with the wife of his son and gave birth to Phares. The moment Phares came, the doctrine of Deuteronomy 23 verse 2 was activated. There was a law that was written in Deuteronomy 22 verse 23 verse 20, verse 2. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord unto the 10th generation. That's why you see from Phares, the kingship that was supposed to be for Israel through the family of Judah was suspended for 10 generations. So that man delayed the kingship. And all the people that were born in that time, none of them could become king in Israel. Because none of them could become king that God will relate with. Why? Because he created a distortion in that family. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? So when you go to Ruth, when you go to Matthew chapter 1, you see Phares gave birth to this father is given. And when you see the number 10, and gave birth to Jesse, gave birth to David the king. 10th generation. Is somebody hearing me? So knowing all of this, let me add one more. When you look at the book of Malachi, how many chapters are there? How many? Church, how many chapters? 4. Look carefully, study it carefully. There are 3 main things that you're going to find out in my life. That was the last book of the Bible. God came down heavily on the nation of Judah. Why?
The Bible said the first thing is that the priesthood were polluted. All kinds of men were doing all kinds of things on the altar.
Secondly, God said, you have dealt treacherously with the wife of your youth. And I've been warning you that you are partners. She's not your slave. Men were treating their wives. God said, I hate divorce. No, the pastor said, God hates it. He didn't say, we should not do it.
My pastor came to preach on God hate divorce during my son's wedding. Up to today, they are still talking about that message. They didn't know that marriage has this type of teaching.
Number three, God said, because you have robbed me, this whole nation, you are cursed. So those three sins that Israel commit, you know what God did?
I said, when a distortion is created, there is going to be a delay.
Because of that, God vacated the earth for 400 years. Malachi to Matthew, there was a window of silence. God did not show up. There was no priesthood. There was no voice from heaven. From Malachi to Matthew, 400 years of silence. What am I talking about? When you come to the American family, especially the elite, the Christian elite, those who understood the gospel, when they build the family, because when I came to the United States, when I got to the United States, the first thing that happened to me was that every adult in my church are divorced. Every one of them. Every one of them. But some of them don't even have a wife again. Some remarry. Some have what they call committed relationship. It's not marriage, but we are committed to one another, to each other. So we live it together. But it's not marriage. They call it committed relationship. If we see young people too, they say, she's my boyfriend. I said, no, you mean wife? No, my girlfriend. Boyfriend, girlfriend. You know, boyfriend, girlfriend, yeah, you still sleep apart. There, they live together. And I was wondering what happened. God said to me, because they said the nation lacked teaching priests. There were no teaching priests. And that's why everybody cast restraint. Everybody was doing whatever they like. Everybody. They were doing whatever they like. So in the American families, those who don't understand, you still seal them. Like you see George Washington today, Thomas Jefferson today, the Walmart, the JCPenney, all these men, they building generations of children, generation of businesses, generation. They were just transferring wealth. All those names are all over. They were built, they understand that concept. The marriage, when God founded it, it's not just for you to have children and buy a house. You know, in Nigeria, when you buy a house and buy a car, then you arrive. You have 10 million in your account, then nobody can control you again. You become a big man. Marriage is bigger than that. And when I understood that, I began to pay attention to the way I'm going to build my home. My wife and I had a first fight. When I say fight, I mean fight. First and the only one. Sir, it was bad. I've never said it openly. I've never said it. Now, my children doesn't know about it. One fateful day like this. In my office. My secretary brought food for me. And my wife doesn't like that secretary. Because whenever my wife comes to the office, she behaves as if, yeah, I'm the secretary here. You're just madam. And she has been complaining to me. I said, don't worry. We need to learn something from this girl. She's helping us to do something. We just came to the country. He said, no, she has to go. I said, how can she? Why are you behaving like this? He said, you know, she has to go. And that day she brought food. I tried to hide the food. She saw it. She said she's going to pour that food away. I said, no way. It's not going to happen. She said it's going to happen in this office. I thought it's a joke. Before I knew it, she grabbed my shirt. She grabbed me here. She grabbed my shirt. The only thing I was taught in Sunday school and my parents, don't raise your hand to beat a woman. This April, make it 29 years I got married on this altar.
Better clap for me.
I try.
29 years. We are number 7.
On our certificate, we are number 007. That's our number. 29 years.
I have never
once raised my hand against her. Not once.
She heard me. And I was trying to remove her hand. I thought I had power. Because I was avoiding doing anything. And we're living in a country that nobody should, if our neighbor should see us,
I'm on my way to jail. They will not listen to me at all.
We fought from the office to outside. And I was struggling to,
oh my God, it was bad. Very, very bad. Very, very bad. Eventually, I was able to rescue myself from her. And I ran to the other door, locked the door. She carried stones. I'm going to break this door. If you don't open this door, I say,
Then I said, this marriage is over.
She said, this marriage can never be over because we are not in charge of it. I said, this marriage is over. He said, no. She said, no. Never. You are going nowhere. You are going nowhere.
I didn't have anywhere I was going.
But I said, this marriage is over. It's over.
He said, you are using your mouth to say the marriage is over. This marriage has come to stay.
I said, no, no. Then I said, what will I do?
Well, nobody should know. I am the one that teach. I teach marriage. I teach families. We organize marriage dinner, breakfast. We have hundreds of people coming. People rely so much on our messages. Now see me and my wife fighting. Who will I call? Who will I call?
Thank God.
We're in Chicago then.
There's an elder in our church. I just called. That my auntie, she's late now. I just call her. She said,
what?
She clock out from her floor of office. And she ran down. Say, Alufa, what about the boy? Kinamawi, Alufa. Look, go see that in Kadi Ale. Are you hearing me? They took me and my wife to the house. And they said to it. When we came back, my wife said something very important. She said to me, this is not me. He said, this is not me. He said, you are creating another me. You are only creating what you want to see. This is not me. Then that got into me. Okay, this is not you. Then I came, I used that to come up with a message. That the man and the woman you marry in the house, you have a duty to create and recreate to meet the standard that you want. If you, many of us, we have changed our wife to become men. We have 2 men living in the house. Some have changed their husband. The husband has become woman. You know, there are some men that they are, we call them woman man. If you are discussing with them among men, before I make a decision, I'll go and tell my wife at home. I have some men like that. And I will go and tell my wife at home. And she's going to, whatever she says, I will come and tell you. So those men, they have changed. Yeah, she has changed them. And we have people like that. There are plenty. There are plenty like that. That the wife have changed them. So I always tell her, look, you marry a complete man. She will stand up and say, you marry a complete woman. I am a complete woman. What I'm trying to say is this. God helped us to navigate that. And from there, I begin to pay attention to some things that ordinarily I will just overlook because I pay attention so much to ministry. So I pay attention to that. Okay, let me begin to do something extra. Because we went to a man of God. His name is Bill Whiston. We went to his church, 2 of us. We attended that service. And the man was saying, Bill Whiston is a very popular name. He was telling the church, a big dome, that my wife and I has been going through process of divorce. Everybody said, what? He said, we have done everything possible, humanly possible. This relationship is not going to work. And they were about to file for divorce. And the man went back to God and I said, God, please change my wife. Change my wife. This is not the woman I marry. It looked like my story. And the Lord told him, it is you that should change. Change. And then you'll see the result. Say, God is me. He said, the problem is about you. You change. And then you're going to see the result. And then he told us that then He began to do things he was not doing before. And the wife said, are you pretending? Are you still the same man? He said, yes, the same me. That was what settles that.
While you are looking for your wife to change from a behavior, you begin to change. Hello, church? Are you here with me? You begin to change. You know, you've had all kinds of jargons, all kinds of philosophy, ideologies, ideas that are flying. You know, when you listen to some of these preachers, if I ask you, were you in your home, in your family, what is the best thing, what's the greatest thing you can give your husband? What's the greatest thing you can give to your husband and that he will love you? As a woman, what? Talk to me. I know you're saying the same thing, though. Say it loud. Say it louder. It's unscriptural. It's unscriptural. Because an average African man, they teach there over there too. When a man is going to, when you're going to marriage and you're building a family, you carry that in your head. I'm a king. Then my wife needs to respect me, right? I read my Bible over and over. I didn't see it. Maybe somebody can show me. The Bible says we are co-heirs of the kingdom, right? When you see a king, does a king have to announce to you that you have to respect him before you respect a king? Respect is part of kingship. It's part of the nature of a king. I will tell you, I'll give you testimony. So the day I say I do, I slaughter the word respect. That say the day, April 6, 1996, when I stood on this altar, I say I do. The word respect was slaughtered. I mortgage it. I don't need a woman to respect me. I carry respect on myself. Hello, church? Men, hello? You are not talking. Men, hello? Don't go to man and say, she needs to respect me. My wife, I've canceled a lot of people. She disrespects me. Who the hell are you? You disrespect you? Who is she to you? A companion. The Bible says a companion. What my Bible tells me is that you should give yourself to him like Jesus gave himself to church. Did Jesus ask us to respect him? Have you ever commanded you to respect him? So it's when a man loses his respect, he demands for it. You don't demand for what you still have. But when I took her on a vacation. I'm still coming to that. I took my wife to a vacation. And in that country, for the first time in her life, when we woke up in the hotel in the morning, she came back by my bedside and knelt down. So what's going on? I said, stand up, honey, stand up. He said, no, just allow me to stay. I want to thank you for bringing me to this place. I want to thank God for your life, for investing in my life. Did I ask for it? No. Do what you need to do. Respect will come. Hello, church. Don't build a family with that mentality. Those who are teaching it, they have no home. They have no home. Some of them are up to teach you that marriage is not to be endured, it's to be enjoyed. Fake. Marriage is not to be endured, it must be enjoyed. Whatever you cannot endure does not worth your life. Even salvation, you must endure. He that do what? He that endure it to the end. Talk to me, complete it for me. Tell Jesus that endurance does not matter. It's a gift of the Spirit. Anything you cannot endure does not worth your time. You don't cast your peer before pigs. Hello, church? Marriage is meant. So these are the things we take into our home that create problems. There's another philosophy I'm hearing it flying in the air. The doctrine of live and leave. Live and leave. I know you've heard about it. Get out so that you can live. You have your life to live, right? Live and leave.
When I hear about it, I say, this Nigeria is becoming something. Live and live. All those philosophies will not help you. Hello? 29 years is like I just take her to the altar. Sir, 2 weeks ago before we came here, you know, I lost 15 pounds in 2 weeks. My wife went to, by the way, we have a grandson. My wife went to take care of a grandson. 2 weeks. No food. I have a very big room. This I was walking up and down. That has never happened in 29 years. No. I don't leave my wife alone. But you know some men can cook. I don't like men who can cook. Those are mother's pet. Some men, they will not miss their wife 1 second. They just go to the kitchen and I have one here from America. I can't cook. That's the problem. So my daughter took me to a Japanese restaurant. From Japanese to Chinese restaurant, I was tired. For 2 weeks, no chicken, no turkey, no meat. I can't cook anything. And I lost 15 pounds. And my son said, please send mommy again. I said, we have to work that out. Hey, glory to God. After 29 years, sometimes when I ask, you see, always fresh, always sweet. Because one thing, if you ask my wife to talk about marriage, she has no two doctrines, only one. Doctrine of prayer. Prayer. I marry a woman that prayer, day and night, prayer. She told me, if you mess up, I will use prayer to control you. She went on 100 days fasting. If you see me like this, it's prayer. Prayer that is holding me down. My special is special. She hold me prayer. If I go out on a trip for work, she goes 7 days consecrated fasting. No food, nothing. She does that almost every quarter. I beg her to stop praying. When I am at home, I say, no, I have the authority to say you are not going to fast. She don't stop me. The moment I step out, jump to fasting and prayer. That she said, look, I said, look, is there anything you are doing that I don't understand? I always want to come home. Always want to come home. He said, you have to come home. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And something very interesting I also do in my marriage. Very, very interesting. I substitute this respect of a thing to mutual responsibility. In my home, when you come to my house, I'm the chief dry cleaner in my house. Chief dry cleaner in my house. I go to my children's room, pick their clothes. It is called mutual responsibilities. Nobody have any role to play in my home. That's why I say social contract, my home has overtaken that. Sometimes my children will finish eating, I'll go and pack the plate. You know why I was doing that? I'll pack the plate. I take it to the kitchen. I remember one day, Reverend Missy said, Pastor Missy said, what are you doing there? I said, I'm washing plates, ma. He said, no, leave that. I said, ma, I'm not Reverend here. I'm a husband and a father. Whenever I step into my house, Reverend is hung. Is hung on the hanger. And all the anointing, I hang it. Then I enter my home as a full man. Full-blooded man. The music I listen to, you don't want to hear it. What are the good things you make to make your family a lovely place? You know, my family, it's a place where you socialize, right? It's not all chakarabaka, chakarabaka, chakarabaka. No, you socialize. Give your wife, give your husband a treat. Those things create good memories, right? It's also a platform for economic corporations. Nobody in my family, we have a platform on WhatsApp. We call it Salami Dynasty. Salami Dynasty. All my children, my wife, everybody's there. That's where we relate. If you have a need in the family among us, you post it. Everybody supports you. Sorry, your boy is broke. Can somebody raise me here? Somebody will raise me. We do that to my family, right? If I'm going on a trip, I have to post my trip. I dare not go on a trip without posting it. I post my trip. Everybody comment. Where am I? On the iPhone, every of my children know where I am at a time. My wife knows the code to my phone. My children have access to the password, all my emails. There's nothing to hide. It's a family of transparency. We were transparent to one another.
Hello, church.
There are some men, their wife does not know the code to their phone. It's pastors. All those things, all those little foxes destroy our vines. So mutual responsibility. When I wash their clothes, in fact, I was washing their clothes till they went to college. This is my daughter here. She just called me and said, "Dad, you spoiled us. I got here, I didn't even know how to operate washing machine. And my friends are laughing at me." I said, "Learn it. Just learn it." You know why I was doing that? Behind my mind, I was building a foundation for a generation of my children. The Bible says, a man should love his wife and give yourself to it. So I give myself, the whole of me, all my investment, I give all unto them. In fact, I told my wife, I said, "You will not go before me. I will go before you. I will live long, I'll fulfill my days, but I will go before you. And I have to make arrangements for things that you're going to be using when I leave this world." And I told my children, "Any of you that disrespect my wife, if I notice you are disrespecting my wife at my old age, I will take her along." I know she said, "No. No." I said, "Leave that for me." She said, "I'm the one that said I will go first. You can accept that." Okay. You can accept that. So, I'll just hold your hand, we'll go on bed. And then we take a flight. Maybe we are going to heaven. Where there is no sin no more. No tears. No worry. So get excited, those of you that are married here. Because when the young ones, the single people, single children, when they don't see the excitement in our homes, there's something that is compelling them not to go into it. We have some in Canada today. A woman was shouting, "Please help us, help us, help us, all the girls. There's no husband." So people are not taking their children to Nigeria, to the mouth of the lions. Taking them to Nigeria. The lions are here, waiting to default. What can you? I greet you. I greet you well. Because your eyes are up. I greet you. So, church, let's create good memories. If I'm not around, even my dog, when I come back after a trip, I travel a lot, when I come back, the only thing that dog will not do is to speak. That dog will make noise, run around, jump on me, run around, just for 3 days. The dog missed me. So create memories. Good memories. Hello, church. Life is to be enjoyed. Don't let anybody make life difficult for you. Life is to be enjoyed. Enjoy your marriage. Enjoy your wife. Celebrate your wife. Celebrate your husband. Celebrate your children. Be there for them. You know, a lot of us send our children abroad. Wonderful. Because this family of, "Hey, send their children to Canada." Okay, my son also must go to U.S. You don't send them to Togo, not Ghana. You send them to U.S., to London. Even I see families that send their children to high school overseas. They don't understand concept of marriage. They don't. All you are concerned about is a better life, right? I tell you, it's not a society that you want your children to get lost into. I tell you, church, I have a lot of them. My children's friends, I have a lot of them. A woman came to see her child. How can you send a child to go and learn high school? Look, among the children that are doing better in Nigeria and in America today, they are from here. And that child will be there struggling with the society problem. And you're sitting here, I'm sending money. And then we're on phone with her, we're on phone with him. You don't understand what it means to build a family. You don't understand.
If you understand, you make sure that the foundation is solid. Let that foundation be solid. Let that child be cultured. Let that child be trained. Because there's a free world. It's a free world. Ask my children. Every Friday, the whole campus is empty. Everybody go and parade. Your campus. I went to give my children, and everyone was quiet. Where are the children? They say, everybody's out. Because every Friday, you must carry a girl. You must carry a girl. So what are you doing? You're sitting down here. There are guys outside there. Carry a girl and then go and drink. So a lot of children, that woman came, she couldn't identify her daughter again. Please don't join them. Don't join them. America today has 11% of poverty. People living below poverty level. America is a nation of about 320,000 million people. 11% of that living below poverty level. China is the second greatest nation, right? 320 million people are living below poverty level in China. Don't add to the statistics. Nigeria is 40%, I understand. 100 million people. But what I want to say to you before I close this morning is that church, create good memories in your homes. Give yourself as a man to your home. Women, give yourself to prayer in your home. Give yourself to your children. Let them see that you are interested not just in their career. You are interested in their life. Be there as confidence for your children. You can know all the scriptures of this world, but your children must be a reflection of who you are. Hello, church. Am I speaking to somebody here this morning? So, church, I'm grateful to God for these few things I've shared with you. There's so much to share, but I thank God for this morning. And I want you to know this in closing. Proverbs 11:29 is a warning. He said, he that troubles his house shall inherit the wind. Every man that troubles his house shall inherit the wind. Don't trouble your house. Men, don't trouble your house. Women, don't trouble your house. Because when you create a distortion at the end of your journey in life, you are going to reach emptiness. Emptiness. Don't trouble your house. Any man that troubles his house, there was a man I gave that scripture to. I told him, treat your wife well. Treat your wife well. Treat your wife well. He said, no, you always say she disrespects me all the time. She disrespects me all the time. That home is collapsed. Don't trouble your house so that you don't inherit emptiness. Trust in the Lord this morning that the Jesus Christ that lightens every man will lighten your path. It will lighten your home. You will have understanding. In this rising Nigeria, you will take your place in the name of Jesus. Rise up and begin to wave your hand unto him. Just give him glory this morning. Just give him glory. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be adored. Father, we are grateful. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you this morning. We celebrate you. We celebrate. I'm going to pray for our families, but I want you to wave your hand to him and just thank him this morning. Just appreciate him. Thank God in anticipation for your home. Thank God if you have a home, you are going through any trouble. I want you to know that God is here to repair. He's here to restore. God said to me, I've anointed you to repair and to restore. God is going to repair. God is going to restore. In the name of Jesus. Your expectations will not be cut off. Come and begin to pray in the Spirit, everybody. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Come and pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost this morning. Shala bokos kantali agrahande ribo. Regade mosokoto boli agala. Sherimande rebos katandalia. Jengra katali boso poli agrahande ri. Magrekete rebos suntoli magla. Understand that God wants to be a generation. He wants your children, grandchildren to inherit the wealth that you have now. Mesokoto poli magla halibos kete legenderia. Oh, Father, we bless your name this morning. Megade moske tenda galaboske. Rigade mosko to boliagla hali boske tenderia.
Regardemos kotole bokash katanda liboske. Regaboli mo glika liboske chende regento robosa katalia.